our eyes on Jesus. Give her a pure heart and let the words come and just help us to see how real this is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, here I am. I wrote down some stuff because otherwise I'll wander all over the place. And after all, I am 39 and turning on 82, I think. Yeah, I know most of you here. No, see, I can't see with those, but I can read with them. I know most of you here, but some maybe I don't know that well. So just fill you in a little bit of history of who I am and what I am. I've been part of Potter's Hands Ministry for almost from the beginning. It's been my joy and my blessing and my, yeah, I've loved it. I've lived in Red Deer since 91. It's a good place to live. My boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. Thank God for that. I've been part of this ministry in just all different parts of it. I don't really know what I am, but I call myself an outreach worker for the Potter. I don't know. Does that sound okay? I drive lots and get in prayer for my license is coming up this November. And you guys are praying, and I swore to God that I would drive people as long as they weren't afraid to ride with me. So no, nobody's jumping out yet. So that's in November. My greatest achievement in life, some of my achievements, greatest one was saying yes to Jesus, and that was 19, amen. He changed my life, he changed my family's life, and it was 1974. My second was saying yes to Everett Clark, and being his wife for 50 years until he went to be with Jesus. And and raising seven children, five girls and two boys, and watching my 18 grandkids and 16 great-grandkids, I think it is now, yeah. Watching them grow and having relationships. I am blessed and my cup overflows, totally. Amen. Yeah, Sunny. Yeah, lots of you guys were, and then my last, I think, greatest achievement was opening the first soup kitchen ministry in Red Deer. And Jerry and Gladys became part of it, Mary and Mo, Sunny. Yeah, so. Okay, I'm still nervous. And that was in 1991. And that's where my heart stays. It's with that kind of ministry, with the street people, with the people that have loved me and let me love them. And I'm so thankful for that. Okay, like I said, I'm only 39 and I'm going on 82. And there's something about turning 80, and I think Don here, we talk about it once. Where'd he go? Yeah. About turning 80, there's something that happens there. It's kind of like looking at the home stretch, I think. Looking at the home stretch and winning that race and et cetera, all that goes with that. And it's good. It's a good time, but it's definitely a changing time. And so there's lots of, learning what to hang on to and what to let go of. And that's not always easy. But it's a good thing. There's benefits to turning 80, too. You can get away with a lot of things that you didn't get away with before. Losing things, forgetting things, slobbering and all that stuff. But sometimes. Never seen it, but yeah. It'll happen, Doug. It'll happen. Yeah. And there are benefits. There's good things. The good things about slowing down a bit, and I'm learning that that Jesus shows up in many, many ways if I'm watching. And a great line from a book that a friend lent me a few days ago is, and I love this, is that he said, the world is a different place when you're walking. And it just really struck me. It's like, I don't walk that much anymore, but slowing down and just looking and watching and seeing the people around you and the things around you and what God, in the midst, Jesus is moving and working and living. And it is a different place when you slow down and you get out of that hustle. So turning 80 is good for that, really good. And, yeah, I think the scripture, yeah, there's so much of him around when you really do. And I know you guys see that, and I sure do. John 3 says, you cannot see the kingdom. I should put these on. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God. And I thought, maybe that means if I am born again, Christ in me, that I'm able to see more of the good of Jesus that is happening all around me. And yeah, and it's true. It's true. You know, only through his eyes can you really, really see the good that's happening around you. And it is good. Even the bad can turn out good. And he does that. But there is enough bad stuff. And I'm kind of a crazy person. And Lynn is too. When we're riding, we wave at everybody. And I look to see, do I know that person? Maybe I do. Maybe I do. Maybe I should. I'll just wave just in case. Lynn does that. I hate for anybody to think that I was ignoring them as if they really cared. But I know what it feels like for someone to... Now I can't see you guys. It's terrible. I know what it feels like to have someone wave at me and a smile. And honestly, it feels like a hug from Jesus. And so, you know, when you get older, you can start feeling these things and noticing these things and enjoying these things. And it's good. And page 3. Got Jerry's book here. Yeah, I was sharing with my father, thinking about motives and thinking about the doing, and you know, often I know we all ask that question. I'm like, well, who am I doing this for? Is this for Jesus? Is this for my own ego? I really don't know. And so I often say, Lord, purify my motives, because I don't know. I really don't know. And he does, I hope. But going on and on about it with him, and I felt him saying, it's okay. It's okay. Keep doing the doing, but just do it with a thankful heart. And that's not always easy, but it sure works good, you know. Yeah, a couple of my street friends were looking for a ride, and I said, okay, I guess, yeah, okay. And they really got in the car, and they said, pray for us. And I thought, awesome, great, okay. And not only that, but after I prayed for them, they prayed for me. That was even more awesome. I wouldn't have missed that. I would have missed that if I had have said, can't do that right now, you know. So that was pretty precious. I'm finding that it's only when I come to the end of my own strength and I'm thinking about, I come to the end of my own strength before I get my teeth in the morning. It's true, absolutely true. It's like, oh Lord, I'm dying. Take me home today. But I found when we refuse to give up that we discover God's strength. It's there. When we are weak, he is strong. Always. And I read this somewhere, not in that same book, but did hardships make us bitter or better? They lead to breakdown or breakthrough. When we reach the end of our resources, we find a new, I love this word, aliveness. It's It's not just more strength, it's an aliveness when we, and it's Christ in us, his life, the resurrected life of Christ. That's the abundant life. I honestly experience that almost every day. I really, really do. I leave home in the morning convinced that I'm dying. I won't make it. They're going to find me dead in my car somewhere. In our car, because this car belongs to this church and me too. And I honestly feel that bad. And I start out and I start moving. And at the end of the day, I come home and I go, wow, that was an awesome day. Thank you, Jesus. So it's true. And I wouldn't have missed that. And it's truly, truly all of him. And those little handles he gives you to hold on to all through the day. I'm your strength. I will not be shaken. I'm also finding inconveniences are often opportunities, like the ride for my two friends. Chances to share God's love, in God's love. It's not just me giving out, but getting back in, and it's sharing in his love with someone else. And we all need that. One of my journal entries, and I journal, missed something, that's okay. And I share this because I know I'm not alone when I say I struggle, because I do. And I know I'm not alone, but this is one of my journal entries. Woke up this morning full of fear, anxiety, fear of failure. Prayed. Father, you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Every morning. And I emphasize the sound mind. I trust walking and living in your spirit, step by step in my weakness, your strength is made perfect. At the end of the day, I come home and I share with him. And this time, it was a hard day. I came home and shared with him the sadness and sickness and hopelessness that I had witnessed throughout the day, and such deep pain. And then I was reminded of the wonderful old serenity prayer, you know, the one, Lord, grant me the courage to change the things that I can, serenity to accept the things I can't, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's a good prayer, because only God can change things. Another entry was, woke up this morning such heavy oppression and confusion, Father. I let go. I trust you to hold me. Yes, I am old. Yes, I am not as strong as I was. Not as able as I was. Almost, but not as confident as I was. But you are my sufficiency. And I wrote, I cannot lean on my own understanding in all of my weakness. I will acknowledge you, and you will direct my path. At the end of that day, I wrote, thank you for the rose from Edna, a sweet street friend. That was special. And thank you, Father, for the hug from a lady I don't even know. Simple acts of love along the way that speak of you, Father. And this one's a little hard, but I'm just about done. The other day, I stopped to talk to three friends sitting on the sidewalk behind Potter's, backs against the wall. One sweet young gal had just finished shooting up with heroin, needle still in her hand. The fellow had also just finished using his needle. The other girl, who I've known since she was a young teen, was getting her stuff out to cook up her little pot of heroin. Usually I would say, you guys, please, not here, you know, just somewhere else, and, you know, try to be nice to them, but I didn't, and I didn't look away. And they invited me just by their presence, and they're accepting me there, and I felt like God opened a veil for me to see the pain and suffering that he sees all the time. And he reminded me of the scripture that says, you know, we enter into his glory, but we also enter into his suffering. And I felt. And I watched as she filled her needle and handed it to the guy. And then she flopped on her back and and pulled down her shirt a little bit. And he proceeded to inject her on this side of her neck and then on this side. And it was like, this is the normal. This is my normal life. This is my norm. And then we talked, and they shared their feelings, and I tried to encourage them. Their feelings of helplessness and hopelessness and lostness and how they got there, what happened in their lives. The young guy said his mother had injected him with heroin when he was 5 years old and said, called my name and said, you better get it for me or else. And he'd been basically going that life ever since. Yeah, I know, it's hard. They shared their feelings with me and we talked, and it was weird because, I know what happens, and I see them doing it, but I'm not right up close, and I don't stand there quietly with them, while it's happening. And I just felt God's love for them so strong. And I said, can I pray? Can I pray for you guys? Can we pray? And they just literally jumped up, grabbed hands. We held hands, bowed our heads. And I was so awed with that moment. And we just bowed our heads to the God and Father who sees all and who loves all. It's all of us sinners, because we are all sinners. Finish up here. But over the years, I've had to learn most of what I learned. Most of what I thought I knew and most of the answers that I thought I had. I had to unlearn that. But a few things that I think that I am learning. God is almighty and I'm not. And his strength is sufficient. And if I keep on taking the next step, he'll keep on guiding and he'll keep on taking. Or driving or whatever, but and the golden rule, do for others as I'd have them do for me. That's essential, I think, for I know what I want done for me, and I know that I need to speak and act to that person what I would have them. And then to finish up, my most fervent prayer is, help me, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus. And I am so thankful for the life that he's given me and for this church, for Stan and Crystal, for all of you guys, for all of my friends in here and out there. My life has been full. I couldn't be more. I've got more to look forward to. So thanks for listening.
Amen. That clap is for Jesus, right? We remember that. Even though we're blessed to have this Jesus follower among us, we remember that's for Jesus. So come on up, Pauline. We're going to maybe have you join me and pray for Pauline, okay? And I just want to say on behalf of the church that we're just so glad that we have you, right? We're so thankful that we see Christ in you. And you show us Jesus every single time.
And anoint you with oil here representing the Holy Spirit of the living God and who heals today, yesterday, and forever. And Father, you know Gertie's heart and you know her ministry. And Father, she needs your eyes. So Lord, we just pray that you would touch her eyes. Your servant there, Brother Andrew, used to pray that you would close the eyes of the guards when he was smuggling Bibles into foreign countries. We pray that you would open the eyes of Gertie, Lord, in the mighty, awesome name of Jesus. Amen.
Okay, we're going to just pray for Paul and too. Thank you, God, for the word of God. We are so blessed to have your word. And we pray that as Paulin brings a message today, that it'll just penetrate our hearts. Thank you for his willingness to preach and for the gift that he has. And it is for your glory. May this build your kingdom, O God.